So why start the Hoptown Chronicle?
Since I left the newspaper in the fall of 2016, I was looking for the next thing, and I'd done some freelancing and taught at some conferences, but I had an office downtown, and I kept noticing how much activity and renewed interest there was in downtown Hopkinsville, and I thought that having a news project that had a very hyper-local focus on downtown Hopkinsville would be manageable for one person to start. So last fall, there was an auction for a dozen or so important buildings in the heart of downtown, and they had all been owned by the Casey family, which ran KCO's, the big department store, for years. And so there was a lot of news value in that. And so that evening, I went to the auction and came home and wrote a story and thought, you know, this may be something. So initially, I experimented with running stories on a Facebook page that I created. And then when I felt confident that it was time to go to the next step, I found someone to help me build a website. And as the website was being developed, I kind of determined that a nonprofit model was probably the best way to go for Hoptown Chronicle. And that's how we got to today.
What kind of stories are you hoping to tell through the Hoptown Chronicle?
Well, I want to write about what's happening with the restoration of some buildings downtown and also just business development. I'll also be covering some local government. Specifically, there are some agencies under the umbrella of Community and Development Services which deal with all of these efforts downtown. So I'm beginning to go to their meetings. I'll be covering Hoptonville City Council as much as I can. I'm one person. And most of my stories will have a focus on what's happening downtown. I'm also really interested in the Kentucky Open Meetings and Open Records Law, and I've recently been involved in starting something called the Kentucky Open Government Coalition. So you may at times see some stories or information on the Hoptown Chronicle site about the importance of our state sunshine laws.
It's my understanding that there was some push in the last legislative session to curb the open records law, though that did not pass.
That did not pass, but those efforts were the real motivation for starting the Kentucky Open Government Coalition. I'm the co-founder with Amy Bensonhaver, an attorney who lives in Frankfort. And Amy, for 25 years, worked for the Kentucky Attorney General's office, and she was responsible for decisions from that agency when complaints were filed about a possible violation of the open meetings law, and also to look at disputes involving the open records law. We have a very active Facebook page, thanks to Amy, who is really doing a great job of teaching people about the laws and how to use them. And that's really is our goal, to make sure that we get a lot of non-journalists involved in using and caring about the open meetings and open records laws.
Can you speak a little bit about the importance of rural journalism in rural areas where the media markets might not be as saturated?
I think it's important for people who live in small communities to have access to good, reliable information about what's going on in their communities, what their governments are doing on their behalf, who are the influential people, events that are happening, because good rural journalism kind of is the glue in a town that holds things together. And we need it more than ever. So I think that there's a real exciting movement in the country right now for a lot of nonprofit newsrooms, and it's at all levels, from the smallest like mine to much larger. We really do need it. There's a lot of talk about, you know, what can you trust and where can we go to get good information. And we need local journalists in small towns who have the institutional knowledge of what's going on in the community and how the government works.
As a nonprofit newsroom, can you describe how the Hoptown Chronicle would operate, how your funding model works?
Well, I have to give credit to public radio because a lot of what I'm doing is really, in many ways, modeled after what public radio does. If people see a need for something like the Hoptown Chronicle and they want to be part of it, then they can make contributions, and it's explained on the website under the Support Us tab. And we have memberships for people who want to give on a monthly basis, and we have other giving levels. We're going to try to do some events as well to give people the opportunity to be part of Hoptown Chronicle beyond reading the stories. So probably on a quarterly basis, we will have events that allow people to come and talk about important issues or learn about something that might benefit the community. And the first one I'm working on, which will be this fall, is a little workshop that I'm going to give about how people can apply for historical markers from the Kentucky Historical Society. I did one a few years ago. I raised money in the community and got a marker approved for Ted Poston, who was a Hopkinsville native and known as the Dean of Black Journalists in America because he was the first African-American in the country to have a career at a white mainstream newspaper. And so today, in the heart of town at 9th and Main, we have a marker that explains who Ted Poston is and why he's important. There are many more people and institutions in Hopkinsville that are worthy of historical markers. And I've talked informally with people who've told me they're kind of interested in doing one of these. So our first Hoptown Chronicle event will be a session in September at a date to be determined, where we'll talk about how to do that, and I'll bring the forms and help people understand that.
In the spirit of Ted Poston and the marker, you've been covering Hopkinsville for a long time. For people who aren't as familiar with the community as you are, what should people know about Hopkinsville that they might discover through your work?
Hopkinsville is a town of about 32,000. We're the county seat town in Christian County, which is the second largest county in the state geographically. We always have been and remain to be a huge agricultural county. It's a big part of our economy. We also have two industrial plants in Hopkinsville. The area that I'm covering, the old heart of town, you know, has seen what many towns in America have, which is, you know, downtown was the retail hub and the cultural hub for many years, and that began to change in the 70s and with, you know, shopping malls being built in the suburbs and then Walmart and things like that. But in Hopkinsville, there really does seem to be a revival taking place, and it's because of some brave small business entrepreneurs who are finding ways to thrive in downtown. And also because local government is investing money in, you know, some big institutions. The Alhambra Theater has reopened after a massive restoration project, and it is a jewel. I mean, I don't know where you can find a better community theater in America than the Alhambra. Our museum is also undergoing a big renovation project, and that's going to be a huge boost when it opens, probably late this year. I think that there are a mix of newcomers and people who have lived here for a long time who are seeing what's possible in downtown Hopkinsville. There's still a lot of challenges, and I'm writing about that as well. I mean, we have some buildings that have been neglected for many, many years, and it's complicated, you know. A building has to have a job to not degrade into something that becomes an eyesore. And we have some of those. But that's Hopkinsville. You know, Hopkinsville is the most racially diverse community in Kentucky outside of Louisville and Lexington. And we are also right next door to Fort Campbell, which brings people to us who have been all over the world. So there's a lot going on here. It's an exciting time.
Is there any particular story that comes to mind in your work thus far that excited or interested you? Maybe something that you didn't know previously that you've learned about, and maybe you find yourself often talking about it as a result?
I think that one thing that's really interesting to me, I'll go back to that first story that I wrote last fall when the dozen or so old Casey properties were auctioned off. There are two young men, they're brothers-in-law in Hopkinsville, and I'm going to say they're in their 20s. They might be in their early 30s. I should know that, and I don't. But they purchased most of the properties in that auction. And so one thing that is surprising to me and really interesting is that young people are very much involved in what's happening in downtown Hopkinsville.